Welcome to 3GT, the podcast where three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner, discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Thank you for joining us on another episode, but I shouldn't just say any other episode of 3GT. This is actually our 100th episode, so we're excited that we've made it to the triple digit mark.
Yay!
There were times we
didn't rejoice.
We didn't think we would make it this far, and yet we have persevered, once again proving one of the doctrines of the faith. I'm Barry York, and I'm joined, as always, with my friends Kyle Borg and Scott Hunt. And so I did want to say congratulations to you guys, and thank you for the ride. I know it's been a little bit shorter than 100 episodes for you, Scott. I think you're probably getting around 10. So
close to 10.
Yeah, getting around double digits. But Kyle, you and I have been doing this for quite some time now.
We have, you know, and I just wanted to applaud any listener who's been with us and had to listen to Barry and I for about 100 hours worth of talking. Yeah. You are proving a doctrine of grace, and that is perseverance.
That's right. That's right. They're the ones that really deserve it. Well, we have a special treat for you today. We are joined by another guy, a special guest. He is the pastor of the Providence Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Bradenton, Florida. We're very glad he's here, and what makes him particularly special is that he's actually Kyle's twin brother. Michael Borg is here with us today. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you're coming in on our 100th episode, so this has got to be exciting for you.
Very exciting. Michael, have you thought that this could actually be a bit of an interview so that three guys theologizing could become four guys theologizing? Has that crossed your mind? No, it's not. Okay.
Well, we'll talk more about that later. I want to ask you, we're just going to spend some time. It's pretty fascinating to have twins, but also two men who are serving as pastors and in related denominations. So we thought we would just take this opportunity. Michael, you're at Kyle's house currently, isn't that correct?
Yes, just finishing up vacation, and we thought we'd come by and see him as a family.
Yeah, well, that's good.
For all our listeners, Winchester, Kansas is a great place to vacation.
Great vacation spot. You don't have to worry about the crowds. Well, we're glad you're here with us, Michael, and I got some questions, because when we heard that we could ask you some questions about life with Kyle, it was just too good an opportunity to pass up. So the first question that probably comes to mind is, which one of you is the oldest?
I am hands down the oldest. I was born 6 minutes prior to Kyle.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down seems a little overstatement there.
As a twin, this has given me bragging rights our entire life and something I've never let him live down.
Well, that's good.
Of course, that means that my life expectancy right now, judging the way things are going to go, is I'm going to last longer than you. So,
6 minutes.
6 minutes, yeah.
6 minutes.
That's right. Well, our listeners can't really see you two, but it's quite a cute picture.
cute picture, Barry.
In order to set this up, they're sharing earphones, and so they're particularly close brothers right at the moment. So,
well, we've been closer, so...
Well, Michael, we are glad to have you, all jokes aside. And I would like you just to tell us a little bit about yourself. Our listeners have certainly gotten to know about Kyle. So we want to hear a little bit about you, just your family, a little bit of your testimony, your ministry, what you're doing down in Florida. So share away.
Yeah, well, I'm twin brother of Kyle, of course, 6 minutes older than him.
Best thing on his resume is that he's my twin brother.
That may very well be true. And, you know, we both grew up in a Christian home, but it wasn't until my later years of high school that I came to know the doctrines of grace through a youth pastor that had come to our church and had decided to start teaching on the doctrines of Calvinism. And I took it relatively quickly and really enjoyed just the glory of God and the emphasis that was placed on that. Mm-hmm. And so I started listening to John Piper. Was really my gateway into at least Calvinistic soteriology. And after high school, I attended a very liberal Christian school in Minnesota, where we were born and raised. And I got a degree in biblical and theological studies from this liberal university. But I also attended Bethlehem Baptist, where John Piper was the senior pastor, the pastor of preaching and vision, or whatever his official title is. Mm-hmm. And those years were very formative for me. They were very good for me. Kyle and I attended Bethel together our first year. And after freshman
the school,
year,
not yeah, to be in the same with Bethlehem Baptist, the church, yes, we correct. Attended the so school.
We attended the school together, and he dropped out after freshman year and went on to lesser things, but that's okay. After I graduated college, my wife and I got married a year after I graduated, and we moved to Indonesia, where we served for 2 years at a Christian classical school over there. There were some missionaries that had started this school for local Indonesians attempting to bring classical education into Asia Minor there. And that was quite the experience. I taught Bible and history and English. But after 2 years, we decided to come back stateside. And prior to coming back, Kyle had started seminary at Puritan Reformed. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to him one day and had said, I'm interested in continuing some more theological study, more of a Reformed type than what I had gotten in my undergraduate years. And I had looked at a lot of the seminaries, Reformed seminaries in America, and none of them had good distance programs at the time. And Kyle recommended that I check out Puritan. And so before I know it, I'm enrolled as a distance student through Puritan while Kyle was attending in Grand Rapids. And when we came back stateside, my family and I moved to Grand Rapids, where Kyle and I attended seminary together.
Yeah.
Our very poor instructors, they were able to deal with us, I think.
We could be found in every class together, sitting in the very back row, talking and passing notes throughout every class.
It was delightful. And so then I got a call to this Orthodox Presbyterian church in Florida. And in late 2013, I got the call, and my family and I moved down in January of 2014. So we've been there just about 5 years. And it's been a wonderful time ministering to the saints down there. As I've stated, I'm married, and my wife's name happens to be Rachel as well.
what?
Which has confused some
people. My mind
people.
Is blown.
Yeah, so
it doesn't confuse us, though, for anybody curious. So
that's
I've
good.
Never confused his Rachel for my Rachel or
which is a good thing. And I have 5 children as well. I have 3 boys and 2 girls, and that's just a little bit about me.
Wow.
Well, that was actually great. A lot, but probably more than we were looking for, but thanks.
No. That's great to hear. Describe a bit your relationship with Kyle. You mentioned him leaving the seminary at one point, and we've talked a little bit about Kyle's testimony, that there was a point where he diverged away from the faith, and I think the Lord used you in a special way to help him. Why don't you guys talk a little bit about that?
Well, real quick, just one correction. I didn't leave the seminary. That was college. So it was undergraduate.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. College. Yep.
You want to share? Or do you want me to share it?
Well, you can begin and I'll fill in the blanks.
Okay. So mine and Michael's relationship began in the womb. We will fast forward to after our freshman year of college. And I know some of our listeners who have been with us may recall, but after my freshman year of college, I transferred colleges to a different state university, and I actually ended up failing out of that university just due to non-participation in classes. And what followed was a fairly lengthy season in my life of waywardness and not walking in the way that I should. And one of the results of that was that I cut a lot of people out of my life, a lot of people that I knew would hold me accountable, a lot of people who I knew would be worried for me. By the providence of God, in many ways, one of the people and one of the very few people that I didn't cut out was actually Michael. And so we stayed in touch, and our relationship, how can we describe this? I would say through our senior year of high school, we wanted to kill each other. Our freshman year of college, if you can get beyond wanting to kill one another and do something even more serious, that's what we wanted to do to one another. But suddenly, when I moved away and we were no longer in proximity, we actually began to get very, very close. And even in that season of my own waywardness and rebellion, he and I stayed pretty close together. And a couple of years into all of this, Michael actually was talking to me. And I was talking to him about some things going on in my life. And do you remember this? You passed me John Owen's book, The Mortification of Sin. And you said, you need to go find somewhere, sit down and read this. So I went to Perkins and I ordered a bottomless cup of coffee. And I sat there the whole night and I read The Mortification of Sin from cover to cover. And that book radically changed my life. And I called Michael immediately after finishing. And I was like, dude, this describes my heart. This describes the reality of sin. Like, I finally found a book that makes sense of me and the part of me that I hate. And from there, Michael said, yeah, it's a great book. Now I really want you to read as many Charles Spurgeon sermons as you can get your hands on. And he said, you will never go wrong. And I actually, that's when I started devouring Charles Spurgeon sermons. And ironically, just today, we went over to Kansas City and went to the Spurgeon Center. So we just got back a little while ago from looking at his library and a bunch of historical relics and getting years off purgatory and afternoon. So, and the reason why that, I mean, that's significant for so many reasons. One, it was a season where the Lord in his grace really reclaimed me, but that also began to mark my transition into a reformed understanding of things. Mm-hmm. One of the things Michael and I combated a lot, I think our senior year of high school and freshman year of college, Michael was, as he already said, was kind of getting into this Calvinistic stuff. And I thought that was all just, I thought it was from the pit of hell. And I actually bought the works of James Arminius so that I could read them and debate Michael on why Calvin was wrong on everything. But like I said, as I read The Mortification of Sin and it explained the reality of my own heart, it kind of opened me up then to, well, what is grace and what are these things? And so I know that through those years, Michael was very concerned for me. I know that he prayed often for me. He was a very, it's not a word I'd often throw around for him, but he was gentle and he was nice, you know, but it, you know, the Bible tells us about a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and Michael in that season proved to be a not only a brother and a twin, but a very close friend who I'll only admit it on the podcast once, but a pretty big impact on me. Well, I'm sorry, you guys. Nobody can see this, but his head's getting so big, I don't fit in this study anymore.
So. No, it was a trying time, certainly in Kyle's life, and I've been very thankful for the way that the Lord used me in any capacity. But I do remember, you know, we've been very close, as Kyle noted, since he left college, I guess, for the first time. We got very, very close.
I willingly left that time.
I remember one time we were driving and we were talking about spiritual things, and you know, I think he was feeding me, you know, trying to be as optimistic as he possibly could about his life. But I remember one line he told me, as he said, "Michael, I can never lie to you." He said, "I feel like I can fake my Christianity with everybody except you." And I think that's, I don't know if you remember that, but that started building bridges between us and helpfully expressing my concern for you, and just so thankful for where it's at. And I think you would agree, Kyle, that the Lord has only cemented our relationship since then. And,
well, there was that one time.
Just the one time. But no, the Lord has been very, very kind to unite us as brothers and as friends. And, you know, outside of my immediate family, Kyle is, you know, by far my best friend. And he's getting a little weepy-eyed right now.
Excuse me over there.
And, you know, we stay in continual contact with one another, despite that I think we're 1,500 miles apart.
Continual would be an understatement, so if you made an overstatement earlier. But, no, so, yeah, it's true. From that time, and that was probably, that was in 2005. And so for the last 13 years, as Michael said, we have grown insanely close. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an amazing story. I mean, we can have some fun laughing, but it is incredible how God uses you in one another's lives now, but how he used Michael back then. I don't have twins, but, or I'm not a twin, but I have only one brother, and I can relate to some of these things, the closeness that can happen. Is we sometimes call ourselves double brothers just because we're not only brothers in the flesh, but brothers in the spirit. So that's just a neat story. And it gives hope to people who see family members wander, and it's important for us to persevere and pray.
And that raises an interesting question, Barry, that I wanted to ask Michael. Is Michael, as Kyle was going through this wayward period back in 2005 or before, how did you approach him, being gentle or taking the gospel to him? Because I know that a lot of people have siblings, family members that are apart from the Lord, that know the truth but have walked away. How did you go about maintaining that relationship while still being faithful to the gospel and proclaiming the gospel to Kyle?
Wonderful question. You know, very interesting that you should ask it. And hopefully I can give somewhat of a worthy response of any encouragement to anybody else that's in a similar situation. Kyle and I have never lacked the ability to have fun together. Whether it's just driving in the car, whether it was just goofing off, you know, always able to have fun. And in that season, you know, I know that there are individuals in Kyle's life that were so concerned about him that I don't think they knew how to interact with him at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the first thing, and I don't know that this was a planned approach by any means, you know, but I never lost the sense of camaraderie and friendship with him. You know, knowing what he was getting into and knowing what he was doing never, you know, caused me to turn away and say, well, you know, I can't ever, you know, talk to you again, or the only thing we can ever talk about is your spiritual condition. I think we continued to have fun and continued, you know, discussing things with each other. But also, you know, the good thing about our friendship and the relationship that we had is not only fun, but that we also know how to go very serious and deep with one another. We know how to stay open and vulnerable with each other. And so I didn't shy away from asking some of the more difficult questions, you know, to ask, you know, well, what were you doing this weekend? Or, you know, just as an example, you know. And
yeah,
just,
while we're driving to the steak buffet.
while we're driving to the steak buffet. So, you know, so I, you know, never shrinking back from realizing that, you know, the relationship I had with my brother, though it was, you know, amiable and though it was fun at times, there was certainly a deeper level there. And I can also say that, you know, having come into and appreciating the doctrines of grace, that God's sovereignty was really a stabilizing force in my life at this time, or stabilizing grace is perhaps better to say. You know, knowing some of Kyle's other friends and knowing some of their theological dispositions, you know, there was a lot of concern and there was a lot of anxiety and a lot of worry and a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, kind of running around, you know, so nervous and apprehensive about everything. I remember talking with my parents on several occasions and, you know, just using it as an opportunity to say, well, you know, God is sovereign over all things, including the salvation of, you know, people's souls. And then, you know, I ultimately, my, you know, my trust is not that Kyle's going to start making better decisions or that Kyle's going to do this or that, you know, but really trusting that the Lord is able to, you know, even draw back the backsliding individuals. And, you know, it was probably that was probably the first experience in my life where the sovereignty of God wasn't simply a theological truth that I assented to, but a great comfort to me. You know, seeing my twin brother go through this was very, very difficult. It was very trying and challenging to me. And yet throughout the whole course, just God's sovereign grace was a bastion of hope and confidence, you know, that he will do right and he will only do right and good to his people. So a couple areas, I don't know if you want to flesh that out anymore, but those are some immediate things that come to mind.
Well, I think too, I just remember, the summer of 2005 was a very pivotal summer for me. And I remember talking to one of my brother's friends and he just said, you know, Kyle, you have no idea how much your brother has prayed for you. So I know that was going on. But, one more thing that I would add was, a willingness and a readiness, to quote unquote, receive me back. You know, after a season of rebellion, it's very mm-hmm. easy for people to, you know, you need to prove yourself and you need to prove, you need to prove this right now that this is genuine. And I never got that sense from Michael. I got encouraged to read Spurgeon. I got encouraged to read Owen and following that, the Puritans. And there was never this prove yourself and the genuineness of what's happening. It was just a very welcoming reception of saying, you know, it does, the Lord is working in your life. So.
Well, again, that's an amazing testimony, and I'm thankful for you men being willing to to share it and open up a little bit further about your relationship. That's great. God has led you since then to both be ministers, and it's amazing. You're both serving in NAPARC churches, RPC, NA, and OPC. And, you know, I guess we could sing the song.
Which I would note, Barry, just real quick. Since
yeah.
Since there's been so much boasting of who the older twin is, I would just remind our listeners that the RPCNA is significantly older than the OPC.
Yeah, we like to remind Westminster that our seminary is a little older, even though they're the bigger little brother. You're so close, so close, and yet so far. I imagine that leads to some interesting theological discussions. What do you guys like to talk about theologically? Both the things you really enjoy talking because you both see them the same way, and then other things perhaps that maybe have some differences in perspective.
I think the way that we usually say it is that we agree on about 99% of our theology. And Kyle is just wrong on a couple points. Feeling what that really means is Michael is wrong, but he's too hard-headed to admit it. But we do, Kyle does spend a lot of time talking to me about exclusive psalmody. Do not. And Joy is telling me that I don't understand what covenanting is. And that
do not.
What we talk about most, probably theologically, is our common love of preaching. We're always discussing different aspects or different, you know, characteristics of preaching or different views. Continually, you know, we stay in relatively continual contact about what we're preaching from week to week, and bounce ideas back and forth off of each other, and you know, and asking, is this a good way to do it? Is this a helpful way? Is this unhelpful? So. Yeah, what would you fill in?
Well, I would say superlapsarianism has always been near the top of our list of things we agree upon. So thankfully, not one of us isn't super and the other infra. And that has really helped cement our relationship.
Well, it all starts from there. So
yeah, that's right. I would not. You know, I agree. We talk a lot about preaching, a lot together. And many of our conversations, especially in the last 5 years since becoming pastors, revolves around pastoral ministry. So just to give our listeners an idea of how much Michael and I talk, we're both on speed dial, and no joke, I think we call each other at least 4 times a day during the workday. You know, if we've got an idea we need to run by somebody really quick, it's just, let me call Michael or let me call Kyle. And, well, what do you think about this? Or here's the outline that I'm thinking for my sermon. Or does this illustration make sense? And so that is right now in the last 5 years, it's sermon prep and things like that have dominated. We've talked a lot about church dynamics and the things that are going on in our ministry. You know, it's really nice to have somebody that you can be very open and transparent with and honest about, you know, things going on in the church that, you know, you don't always want to share with your wife or others in the church, things like that. So one thing, you know, I've been really helping Michael lately on his spelling because he doesn't know how to spell RPW, which stands for the Regulative Principle of Worship. We do banter back and forth about worship occasionally. I wouldn't say many of our conversations are dominated by it, but we have a different application of that. We also are blessed to have an older brother who's a Reformed Baptist, so we enjoy telling each other about Baptist theology and why we disagree with it.
He's also the rocket scientist, right?
So yeah, he got all the brains and Michael and I got the looks. So, but you know, it's interesting. We always laughed in seminary. For those who are familiar with the distinction in the theological disciplines, Michael really loves biblical theology in the vein of Gerhardus Voss and Richard Gaffin and things like that. And I have a huge love for systematic theology. And so,
after the likes of Wayne Grudem, right?
Nope, not Wayne Grudem, but thank you for that. So, wow. We welcome you onto our show and you just throw a preeminent theologian under the bus. but so we've decided that between the two of us, we know everything. but we talk about things like that. What are we try to, sometimes we read theology books together concurrently. And so then we're able to talk about that kind of stuff. So things like that.
What about the ministry? Kyle's in Winchester, obviously rural, small town. Is that the way? I don't know Bradenton, so you'll have to, what's your ministry like, Michael?
Bradenton how do you describe Bradenton? You know, it's on the west coast of Florida, and it's a really popular destination for snowbirds. And so that adds, you know, an enormous dynamic to the ministry down there. At 6 months out of the year, you know, we often hear from our year-long church members, right, is that 6 months out of the year, we feel like a nice little family. And then the other 6 months out of the year, our congregation doubles in size.
Oh, and, wow.
And on top of the regular attenders, their snowbirds, we also get a mass amount of visitors that come through our doors, whether they're vacationing or whether, you know, they're setting up a shop for their parents so they can stay down there for the winter. The Bradenton, Sarasota area is not a rural feel at all. You don't have people, at least many people in our church, that have deep roots in the community of Bradenton. We have many retirees, a lot from the East Coast of the United States that move down. They retire on a East Coast pension and they come down to an area like Bradenton where living expenses are cheaper. And so we don't have the roots. We don't have as many family connections as you might find in a rural church. You know, we have a lot of individuals that came down knowing nobody and just said, we like the Florida sun. We like that we're next to beaches. The living expenses are cheaper down here. And so, you know, so that adds a particular dynamic of how to reach out to those individuals and, you know, thinking through whether it's the holidays, you know, to reaching out and making people feel included, you know, and having this, I guess, this almost adopted family type of people. So those are a couple of the big differences that exist between us.
It's warm too, and they don't get snow, so
that helps. It helps a lot.
So do you enjoy visiting Winchester?
No, not really. I can tell you, if Kyle wasn't here, this probably isn't a town I would ever dream of driving through again.
Michael has yet to unlock the inner glories of Winchester.
Well, have you done any podcasting before, Michael?
Nope, this is my first time.
But we always have this joke, if I wasn't already doing two podcasts, to do a twin podcast where we discuss, well, basically where we invite people into our phone conversations that are, you know, that don't deal with sensitive matters. And we thought about naming it Womb to Tomb. And, you know, just about our life together. So... be a little awkward, but
just a little with that title. Yes.
But we do, you know, so not podcasting, but Michael, I was a fraternal delegate to the OPC General Assembly a couple of years ago, and Michael was a delegate for the OPC there. And so that was fun to share that together. When Michael was ordained, I had already been ordained. Because though I'm 6 minutes younger, I became a pastor first. And so I was actually able to preach at Michael's ordination service and participate in the laying on of hands. And so that was an exciting.
And you baptized one of my children and I baptized one of yours, which was a special moment.
I did. I baptized their son just after he baptized me with vomit. It was one of the first baptisms. I think it might've been the first baptism I ever did. And they handed him to me and he was facing me and he just threw up all over my suit. And my back was to the congregation.
Oh my.
So the family's up there and they all start laughing. And yeah, it was quite the experience. So.
Well, this has been fun and the time has gone quickly, so we're going to have to wrap things up. But Michael, Scott and I didn't tell Kyle this beforehand, but you know, we could be interested in replacing him and just wondered if you were interested in the job.
Replacing Kyle, that's a very hard thing to do. Those are very big shoes to fill. But I am the better twin, so any day that you would care to get rid of him, you can give me a call.
You guys, this is such a relief. I have been trying to find a way to get off this podcast. That's made my day. So
it's really hard finding a parishioner, but It looks like a pastor is not such a
difficult task. So says the president sitting up in the
chair. Well, we're thankful that you joined us today, Michael, and hope you enjoy your ongoing stay here with Kyle. And we thank you, listeners, for joining us again for our 100th episode, and we pray you'll continue the journey with us. If you'd like to learn more about 3GT, go over to our website at 3gt.xyz. You can listen to older podcasts there. You can also look at how to support this podcast. We are listener supported and there are needs. So if you'd like to help us out, we would appreciate it. Thanks for joining us on 3GT.